Welcome everyone to the American Foundation for the Blind Inform and Connect series. This series was created to foster camaraderie between the blindness community through informal storytelling. Today, we have our very own model, Catherine Harrison, who's going to share with us her amazing story of strength and power. Catherine, it's so great to have you with us today.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I am so glad that you're here. We were just talking about Texas being open, so we're all going to catch a flight and go there afterwards. Hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. It's a big state. Come on.
All right, we're going to come on down. Okay, great. So, Catherine, what I want to go ahead is there's so many places we can go together because we've talked about so many things, but I just want everybody to get just tell us a little bit about your story. I think we should start there. And I was just let us know about like how you've got started and your background.
Okay. Well, I am actually a registered nurse by education. And during nursing school is when I started doing a little modeling while I was in Dallas and really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun doing it. Did commercials for Radio Shack and Sears, JCPenney, you know, some good big names. So I had a lot of fun doing it. But then once I got into nursing and became an operating room nurse, I kind of put modeling to the side and then had my family and raised them. And in the process of doing that, I've lived overseas in many different countries, practicing nursing and medicine. My husband's a physician, so we did mission work and I raised three boys. But in the process, in my early 30s, I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. And, you know, the sobering diagnosis was when I was holding my third-born son. He was a newborn, and I had been to see the doctor because things were just, you know, obviously I was not able to see well. And he said, well, I need you to take a good look at the face of that baby because you'll never see him as a man. Aww. And that was a really hard day. I didn't understand, and I had to learn a whole lot about RP and the prognosis and really begin to prepare myself for the darkness that was coming. And so I did lots of things, everything from learn to read Braille. I went to school for the blind in Austin and got, you know, some mobility training and computer skills and everything else I thought I needed so I would just kind of be ready when it happened. Well, as you know, with RP, it's progressive. It takes, kind of, for me, it's taken a long time, but it was really kind of frustrating to live in between the two worlds, in between a sighted and a visually handicapped world. And so finally I lost enough of my sight where I just kind of made the leap and, you know, live more or less in that world as a visually handicapped person, but kind of came to a point where I had to redefine myself. I couldn't be a nurse anymore. The kids are grown and gone. So now what do? I don't want to just sit at home in the dark. I want to be productive. I want to, you know, do my thing. And so that's when I decided to go back to modeling. I've always been big on fitness and working out, things like that. But I lost about, I don't know, 25 pounds, got myself in really great shape and got a portfolio together and then got an agent in Dallas and have gone back to work and have really found not just modeling, because I don't necessarily do it just as a visually handicapped person. I compete in the regular market with other fitness models and with everybody. So I have to be able to function 100% just like they do. So that was really a learning process for me. And I found a whole lot of strength in doing that and began to really kind of advocate with younger girls and even women my age, you know, that there's really no good excuse for just sitting at home in the dark feeling sorry for yourself. There's so much life out there to be lived. And, you know, if you need to take courses or classes or learn how to do something to get to that next level, then do it, by golly. What are you waiting for? I feel like I have this second half of life and I'm having more fun, I think, than I did in the first half. So
I think you are too, Catherine, from the stories you've shared.
I am. Life's a whole lot more funny. I can laugh at myself a whole lot more than I used to take myself a whole lot more seriously.
Yes. Well, I want to, there's two stories that you've shared with me that I just have really touched me. And I want to just roll back a little bit. And when you talked about when you went to Austin to do training, You know how I feel, and everyone in this audience, about shoes. I love stilettos and all that good stuff. And when we first met, when I was at your photo shoot, which was amazing, the story you shared with me with the mobility instructor, can you share that with us?
I will. I know as a woman, we all have this dream of being so beautiful or fabulously dressed that we literally can stop traffic, that people will stop and they're staring, just like in a commercial or something. Well, I actually had that experience where I stopped traffic, came to a dead standstill, a huge big intersection in Austin, Texas. And that was not because I looked really great or had, had on really a great outfit. It was because I was in the middle of the road. I was in my training, and so we had to wear a big blindfold, and I had done my assignment for the day, go to the bank and then come back using public transportation, all these things. And with, a great amount of confidence, I tapped my way to what I thought was the other side of the street. But what I didn't realize is I had wandered into the center of the intersection. And I applaud the people in Austin in that they literally just sat there in their cars, all four sides, and waited for me to figure it out. Nobody honked at me, nobody yelled, but about a minute into standing there, listening for traffic, trying to figure out the flow of traffic, I heard someone get out of their car, and this woman came and took me by the arm, and she said, "Let me help you." I said, "Oh no, I don't need any help, I'm all good." Because I had no idea I was in the middle of the intersection. And it wasn't until that point when I did not hear traffic moving, no one, there was no flow, I thought to myself, they're not moving because I'm in the middle. And so I did make my way to the curb and then had to figure out which direction am I facing. But the minute I got to the curb and stepped up on it, I could literally hear applause, that the people in their cars were applauding. It was as if they were cheering for me. They were waiting for me to figure it out. And I think in the back of their minds, a lot like I did, was they're looking at me thinking, what if that was me? Mm-hmm. If she can do it, then I can do it. And I'm going to pull for her. I'm going to root for her. And I found really a whole calling in that moment that if I can be that example, if someone can look at me while I'm failing, but they see that I press through and I continue to rise and rise. I didn't just give up. I didn't start crying. I didn't do any of those things. I figured it out and I made it to the corner. And people see that and they are encouraged. And so it just becomes a powerful force that I think if everyone could do that, regardless of what your circumstance is, it's okay for people to see you fail or to see you make a mistake, as long as they see you rise after. And then you are the encouragement. And so for me, that was a humble pill to swallow for them to watch me do that. But to hear them applaud and to know that I had encouraged people was a powerful thing for me and really kind of started me on this trajectory, I think, of being willing to be an example of what it looks like. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't, but you just keep going and find that strength, whatever it is. You know, I've teased with you, Melody, when I started my mobility training and I went to my instructor, I dress to kill every day. That's just my personality. And when I went to class, he was blind as well. He ran his hand down my leg to feel my shoe. And he felt my high-heeled shoe, which is what I always wear. And he looked at me, he says, "Now, honey, you're going to have to go back to your room and change." And I said, "Well, why do I need to do that?" He said, "Well, you can't be blind in those shoes. You need to put on sensible shoes, tennis shoes, something flat, so I can teach you, how to walk and whatnot with your cane." And I just stopped and I looked at him and I said, "Well, are you any good at your job?" He said, "Well, yes, I'm very good." I said, "Then you need to teach me how to be blind in these shoes." Because
I love that story.
That's just my personality. I don't want to have to be somebody else because of what's happened to me. If I can't still be me, then we have a problem. And so he indeed let me do it every single day for mobility. I had on some kind of unreasonable shoe, absolutely unreasonable. Now, you know, did I trip a little bit? Sure I did, but I look good going down, I can tell you that. So I just
love that story.
Yeah, I just never let it throw me for a loop.
Right.
And I kind of became the poster child after that. You know, that you can be blind and be funny and look fabulous. You can have it all. And I intend to.
Yes. And I love it. And I think there's a strong message, underlining message that I've taken away from it, Catherine, is that, you know, you were like, you know, hold up, I'm going to cross the street. And you also are like, you know, I'm going to do this, but I am going to rise. And then you're also just the power of saying, you know, I'm not going to let blindness define who I am. And I think a lot of people, I know myself losing, as we've discussed, losing, you know, my eyesight in my 20s, you do feel like that you have to make this change, and you don't, you really don't. And I love that. And I thank you so much for sharing those two stories. But, you know, the modeling world is a tough world. Can you tell us about how, because the other story that I loved, you know, fast forward when you got back into modeling that you told is, you know, about how that transition went and what you had to do to get back there. And I just, if you could share that with us.
Sure. Yes, it is different. When I modeled before, it was in the 80s. And so we didn't have the internet, we didn't have digital, any of that. So to get back into it, there was a little learning curve in that regard. And then also to be able to do it without being able to see the camera. Or photographers often don't speak to you, they just give you hand motions of where they want you to turn or look, things like that. And so I had to get in front of the camera, spend a lot of time in front of the camera with different photographers, and they knew my situation, and practice, and learn how to ask them for what help I needed. So when I go for like an audition and I walk in the room, now they have seen my portfolio, but there aren't pictures of me with a white cane in there. There's just pictures of me. And you can't look at my pictures and tell I have a visual handicap. So when I walk in the room, there's often a surprised look on their face. And it's very quiet when they see that white cane. And so I've had to learn to help them help me. Take responsibility for that. As soon as I walk in, I say to them, don't let that white cane bother you. All I need you to do is show me my mark and tell me where the camera is, and I'll do my thing. And immediately they know I have control of myself and my situation. They're not gonna have to do anything special. So I fold up my cane, I get on my mark, and then I start to do what I've been trained to do. And then they relax, we have fun, and they forget that I even have this until we're done and I have to unfold my cane again to walk out. And so it's been empowering for me to learn how to ask them for help or tell them what it is I'm going to need so that they don't feel uncomfortable and immediately dismiss me as a candidate for this job. So I've had to advocate for myself a whole lot. There isn't anybody, you know, out there really doing a whole lot of what I do. I know of one other blind model in the state of Texas, and otherwise I don't think there are very many of us. So, you know, it does take a lot of learning, and that's my responsibility. It's not a photographer's, but I do have to ask them, okay, I need you to talk to me. I can't hear pointing.
Yes.
I need you to say, look to the right, look to the left. And some photographers I've worked with multiple times, I know what they're going to say. Like the shoot that you sat in on, Melody, with Julia. I've worked with Julia before. So I know exactly what she's going to say after look down. She's going to go tilt your head, da, da, da. She kind of has a pattern to what it is, the photos that I know she wants. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get into a rhythm and just do it. She's like, it's like, you know what's coming. I said, I do know what's coming. You know, I've heard you say it before. So it's my job to pay attention and be good at what I do. Don't expect, I want to keep the bar high, not just for visually handicapped people, but as a model, that you can expect me to be professional and be good at what I do, regardless of my handicap. And I think that's where I would love to see all of us in this community really take the bar up. And, we're just as professional as everybody else and just as capable to do these things. So.
No, I love that. And I think too, that empowerment of raising the bar, but one thing I do love about you too, is just, it's not about, even in your bio and the time I've spent with you and what you've stated earlier, it's not about, you know, whatever your situation may be. We all have these bars we need to raise within ourselves, no matter our situations. And I think that, you know, when with you, I know that we've discussed this before too, when you have a vision impairment or totally blind like myself, you do raise the bar. And I think that that speaks well of what other people could do some self-reflection as well.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your advocacy? Because you do a lot of it.
I do. I did public speaking for a lot of years and enjoyed that, but it was a runaway train. you can just do a whole lot of it. And I'm, oddly enough, naturally an introvert. I am a happy introvert, but one who's had to learn to be extroverted when the situation arises. So I instead really love to write. I love to write some of the funny stories that happen to me and always have some kind of empowering or encouraging message at the end of them. And I do a lot on Instagram. I connect with a lot of people on Instagram via fighting blindness or retinitis pigmentosa. And I get into a lot of conversations one-on-one, particularly with young people newly diagnosed, and they see me, I'm 20 plus years down the road. They're like, how do I get from here to there? You know, and just kind of talking with them and working with them. And then a whole lot of the advocacy I do is not with the visually handicapped community, but with the sighted world and being in amongst them and with my children's friends, that sort of thing, to, I don't want to say normalize it, but kind of.
Well, where it is.
It's not a unique thing. My kids' friends used to play with my canes like lightsabers. You know, they would have battles with them. They didn't think anything about playing with a blind person's cane. Mm-hmm. And how great is that? I mean, the first cane I ever touched was my own. And so it's a little scary. These kids are not afraid of it. They're not afraid to be around me or, you know, walk on eggshells, any of that kind of thing. So it helps for me to really kind of not just stay in my little comfortable circle where you're with other visually handicapped people who understand your situation, but to really kind of get out there and be visible and be in places where people don't really expect to find you. I love that, actually.
Yes, no, it is. It's great. And that's definitely one thing, you know, our mission at AFB is, you know, a life with no limits and the inclusion, that's such a piece of it. And it truly rings true. It's like, you know, we need to get to a space where, you know, a king is seen as power and it's seen as equals. And you're doing that in such a fantastic and beautiful way. And I thank you so much for being here today with us. And I can't even believe it's already time for our question and answer portion. This has gone by very fast. But I'm going to flip that over to Susan so people can ask some questions.
Our chat is open now. So if you have a question for Catherine, send those in. And we'll get to those. So Melody, you guys continue to talk because we're waiting for some questions now.
Sure. So one of the things that I, you know, wanted to say first before I totally forgot, like you talk about, you say, find your power. What can you, like, if you were to give somebody a tip, anybody, any situation to finding, you know, everybody has that soul searching moment of like, what do I want to be when I grow up? What do I do? And you've kind of hit on that, but what strength would you give them to motivate them to do that?
Your power comes in knowing who you are at your core. What do you love? What makes you burn with passion, your creativity, all of those things. You at the core, not your disability, not your education, any of those sorts of things. What's inside of you? And then you do that on purpose. It's not an accident. I do it on purpose. Yes, I love high-heeled shoes and I love to dress nice. It makes me feel a certain way. And I love to be creative. All of the things that I love to do and I'm passionate about, those are a part of me. And I do those things on purpose and I don't apologize for them. Whether people understand them or not, you know, it's not my problem, I guess. So it really is being... The power comes once you know who you are and what your purpose is. And that is something each person has to find out. What is my purpose? What is my message? And then you have the power. That is the power. And then you step out in it every single day. I love to think of my cane as it's what I put out in front of me. And it is a part of my story, but it doesn't define me. But it does go out in front and it finds those things that are going to trip me up so that I can keep going at the pace I need to go. It's not what's going to define me. It's what helps me step out strong. And so if I have to use that, then great. That's just a part of my strength. I'm not embarrassed about it. And I'll trip you if you cut me off when you step out. I'm armed and I'm not afraid to use it.
Sorkin, yes, from True Texan. I love it. Wow, Catherine, you are a presence. It has been so awesome to have you here with us today. Thank you for all the tips that you've given women and men too, and for all of us in the community to find our power and to run with it and go with it. And I in particular just really love your advocacy work and your strength. And we can't thank you enough for all that you do. Everyone, I hope that you have an amazing rest of your week. And if you'd love to learn more about the American Foundation for the Blind and our programs, please visit afb.org. Thanks and have a great rest of your week.